Hello everyone, Becky Anderson here to let you know that my crowdfunding campaign for Wreck This Deck is live and there's a link in the show notes. Wreck This Deck is a solo journaling and deck crafting game. In this game, you play a deck runner, that's a DIY demonologist, trapping demons in altered playing cards and keeping meticulous notes of your work in your journal. At the end, you should have brilliant microfiction written in your journal and an artifact deck of playing cards that you have altered yourself. I'm funding for a printed zine, new art and layout, and I've revised the original version of the game with more content, such as sample demon profiles and fortune-telling spreads. There's a link to the campaign in the show notes, as I said, and thank you very much for listening. Now, on to the show.
Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. I am your host, Josh Fox. My pronouns are he and him, and with me tonight, I have four of the world's greatest role players. And their names are?
I'm Becky Anderson. I'm playing the Ares playbook, and the character that I'll be playing is Lieutenant Emily Loris, known also as Hellcat. Her pronouns are she, her. My pronouns are she, her. Hooray!
Did it. Well done. I'm Ed Tomlinson. I will be playing the Scorpio playbook, who is Dr. Tobias Roy, and our pronouns are he, him.
Nick Bate, Taurus playbook, Commander Sam Buckley, Captain of the Hecate, he, him, the end.
Tick.
Jobs are good in. I'm Sue Elliott. My pronouns are she, her. I will be playing Sonia Vega, the Gemini busybody, whose pronouns are also she, her.
Yes. And Stone Cold.
Stone Cold Legend.
Tonight we're going to be playing Last Fleet, a game what I wrote. Let's get started. All right, well, you were at the tail end of the ship, so it probably doesn't take you that long to get to the entrance to engineering. I think engineering might have like sealable bulkheads, wouldn't you say? Like if you had an engineering part of a ship, you'd want to be able to seal it off if need be. And I think those bulkheads have come down. Like not as in you see them come down, as in they're already down when you arrive.
Do we hear them being lowered, or could it be that these have been lowered for some time?
Would you have heard? I don't know. I don't know that these things are like going to be massively noisy. Mm. So I'm going to say you can't tell.
I don't know about you, Doctor, but it seems to me it'd be pretty hard to fix your engine room if you'd sealed it off from the rest of the ship.
Indeed. I think we need to speak to this captain, get them down here to explain themselves.
Is it possible that there's a Korax infection on this ship and what I saw on the outside has sucked itself into the engine room to be close to a food source?
I think your assessment is correct.
Shit. Do we need more evidence, or should we just get back in the shuttle and go?
I think we need to remind ourselves of our need as well. Perhaps we can jettison some fuel?
Lick the evidence.
Yeah, maybe we need to touch the evidence. No.
How likely?
It probably would be possible to jettison the fuel tanks if you were either inside the bridge or inside engineering.
I say that.
Okay, let's keep that in mind. How likely is it the crew have been infected?
It's likely that it has spread rapidly, but that's not to say that everyone is infected at this point.
I don't suppose you've got any means of telling yet, have you?
No.
Okay, let's not lick anything then.
I don't have anything, do I? Apart from probably a very protracted...
Like a little tricorder?
They have to have a swab in both nostrils and then in both of their tonsils, and then they have to wait 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's probably about right, probably. That's the kind of technology you would have. You might also have the capability to detect spores, but again, it would require you to take some samples and whiz them back to a lab. And I think you probably got something on the shuttle which would allow you to run a test.
Okay, well, so I'm looking for sort of possible sign of swabs. So I'm going to take swab. I'm taking samples of things as I'm going.
Have you seen any infection at all, Doctor?
I don't know, have I? Have I seen anything that might indicate?
You've not seen anything weird at all, other than the fact that there's nobody on this civilian ship, apart from that one person who's been talking to you over the radio, and the fact that the bulkheads are down. Oh, and the fact that there's some big holes in the side from where somebody shot there.
Yeah, yeah.
Captain, I suggest you come down and open these bulkheads.
Presumably you're going over to an intercom to make that point, right? There's a delay, and then the captain's voice says, "Ah, yes, the bulkheads. I'm sorry, I'd forgotten that we put those down. We thought that there might have been a containment leak, but it proved not to be a problem. Well, you want me to open them? Yes, I think I can do that. Just give me a moment. You waiting?
I am going to be on high alert. I'm going to get my gun out and I'm getting ready to run and drag the doctor behind me the second something weird comes out.
Yeah, yeah. I look at you like, is this a good idea? Like,
no, this is a bad idea.
Okay. Yeah, there's
get my swab out.
A protracted pause, and then the bulkhead hisses and gradually starts to raise. I'm imagining like a kind of reverse Indiana Jones effect here.
Mm. Does something come boiling out of the bottom of the door then?
What, like snakes?
Like a hat.
You mean at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark,
like
kind
a
of thing?
A live hat. No, nothing comes boiling out. There's a bit of a waft of slightly stale air.
I put my helmet head torch on.
Oh, I might put my EVA suit on just in case.
I presume you've already got an EVA suit on, right, but you're like sealing it.
I'm sealing it because I don't want to breathe in any spores.
Sounds very wise.
I'm imagining mine's got like a nice glass kind of frontage to it with the lights. I'm thinking 2001 style.
Yeah, well, so the bulkhead raises. You can see into engineering. All is quiet.
Doctor, what do you see?
Not very much.
You would have to go inside to get a proper look inside, if you see what I mean. It's not like...
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to go inside, Doctor?
Yeah, I'll walk through.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm going to imagine that this engineering place is like a series of gantries wherein can be accessed bits of the engines and also the fuel tanks. So there's like a couple of different levels and there are metal stairs connecting the different levels. And it's dark. There is light. There are sort of, I guess, there must be some sort of automatic lights that are always on, but it's not lit. It's not properly lit.
Like the emergency lights type of thing.
Well, I was going to say emergency lights, but that makes it sound like somebody's activated an emergency, which I don't think that's particularly the case.
Yeah, like just not turned on all the lights, like the trim lights or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But is it emergency?
And you've got your head cameras on. You just set your head, not head cameras, head torches. So you shine those around. You can see something that looks unusual down where the main engine is. You can't really make out what it is.
Okay, so I guess the atmosphere I'm trying to create here is like me being shifty and wanting to, but I actually also want to release the fuel in order to collect it on the way out and get out as quickly as possible. So I'm still trying to work out how we can do that from here.
Yeah, so you would need to go down roughly to where that is.
Okay.
Where the various control interfaces are, which would allow you to disengage the locks. And then you would have to go to each fuel tank and manually perform an action there as well.
Okay. So I walk down and I look back and go, come on, we're nearly there.
I promised I'd be careful. Coming, Dr. Roy.
All right. So it's quiet. Your feet clank on the metal steps as you make your way down. And as you get closer, you can see that all of the control panel, etc., that you would expect to see is there. But there is also something that looks like
a Korax.
Like a tiny alien.
Like a spider web. It's like a thick spider web that's kind of woven in a mass against one of the engines.
Is that what I think it is, Doctor?
Very possibly, but we need to jettison the fuel from the control panel.
Yep, let's do it. Oh, from this control panel? You're kidding. We're not touching that. We can't afford to take this infection back to the Agamemnon and the Hecate. We're going to have to do it from the bridge.
I'm not sure this is the infectious variety, not to humans.
You better be really, really seriously right about that, Dr. Roy.
Ed, I think your move now does kick off. I think you're close enough that you could reach out. And
that's all I wanted to do, was just to buy enough time to get close.
You're going to lick it, aren't you? Oh, you bastard.
I'm not going to lick it.
He's going to lick it. He's already got his tongue out.
I'm going to take my shoes off and rub my little toes into it.
So, you're close enough to the enemy that you can reach out and touch them. Tell us what you feel.
Do I have to roll, do I?
No, you don't roll. You just tell us whether you feel love, lust, fear, or revulsion.
That's interesting.
Yes, it is interesting, isn't it?
I'm going to say fear, actually. I was going to go, I was 50-50 with love then, but I think fear at this point.
Lust.
It's a sort of respectful fear.
Sorry, have you actually taken your shoes off?
No, but I'm tempted to take my helmet off. No, but it's no, because I think that'd just be too obvious at this point, right? If I just took my helmet off and was like, oh, I am the chosen one.
Yeah,
so I think I'm trying to sort of, I'm fearful of it because you've sort of given me warning, but I'm sort of reassured you enough that I can kind of brush past it in order to reach the console and in doing some sort of fearful, but also respectful.
Okay, so you get to choose two options from the list.
You learn something new about the enemy, ask the GM a question.
Yeah.
You are calmed and bolstered, erase pressure until you have exactly two boxes marked, or erase one pressure at your choice.
Yeah.
The enemy tells you something about yourself, ask the GM what? I'm going to put it all on the GM. I'm going to learn something new about the enemy, because I think that'd be bloody useful right now. And the enemy tells me about something about me.
Okay. So what do you want to know about the enemy? What's the question?
Any suggestions, guys? Come on. I'm a little bit stumped. How broad can I be with it?
I mean, the obvious thing, surely, is this ship infested?
And how do we kill you?
Yeah, so I guess, yeah. So we could go for something like about their behaviour and their types and what we should be more concerned about. Or we could just go for something specific about this situation. So I'm thinking more broad about, like, are there specific types of Korax that can infect humans? Or can all of them, encounters with them infect humans? Does that make sense?
It does.
Is that too broad? Too big a question? Is there a way of detecting Korax?
I mean, these are great questions. It's hard to think about how you would
know
get
that
the
from
information.
Is there a way for me to detect Korax? Is there a sensation that I get from the Korax that I can tap into in order to sort of help with the detection device? Is there some sensation or recognizable chemistry or, I don't know, something like that?
Yeah.
That would help detecting Korax.
Let's see. I think the only way that this move can possibly work is for you to have a psychic connection with these with this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to be that, right? I have to have some...
Well, you could talk to somebody, but yeah. So I think you feel a mind inside this spiderweb-like thing, and it kind of whispers to you. It says, "Welcome, Dr. Roy. You've come home. You belong here. You are one of us." So I'm going to give you that as your... The enemy tells you something about yourself.
Okay.
Nice and straightforward.
I think a tear wells up in his eye at that point. It's hard to know what the tear means, though, at this point.
I think what I'll let you do is take a sample, if you are willing to reach out and touch it, which will advance your project to detect infected humans.
Okay.
Are you going to do that? Bearing in mind that Hellcat's like right behind you.
Yeah, I take a sample, scientifically.
I think as you do that, you kind of get some of this stuff in your test tube or whatever you've got. And as you do that, something moves inside the web. And like something kind of presses out of the web towards you.
Do I see any of this?
Yeah, you do. You see like a face pressing out of it.
Yeah, so just to be clear, it looks like I get some of it on me, but like I also then go into Dr. Roy authoritative mode and collect it as a sample and look like I've handled hazardous substance.
You only look like you're doing something suspicious to the extent that, you know, touching Korak stuff is a bit of a dangerous thing to do, and
yeah,
maybe,
but I'm a scientist.
If you had asked her view, she might have told you not to do that.
Yeah, but she's not a scientist.
Yeah, so this thing kind of pushes out towards you, and there's like a head and face shape.
I ain't gonna pull my gun on that.
Human head?
Humanish, yeah.
I turn and say, wait.
Okay, I am now going to ask. What I'm going to say is, you turn around and you see this figure stood behind Loris, okay, about to physically strike her. You think it's moving in a way of someone who's about to mount a physical attack on somebody. It's a humanoid figure.
Okay, I say...
What do you do?
Well, I reach down to my ankle to pull out my gun. No, I pull out my... Have I got a gun? Would I have a gun?
You can have a gun if you want one, and if Loris would have consented to you having one.
Do you know how to use a gun?
You could have given him a quick safety demo.
Well, okay. I say, wait, Loris, behind you. Or behind you.
Okay, excellent. That's enough that you have a chance to shake off the attack that's about to hit you.
Okay, I'm going to roll to shake it off.
Well, okay, actually, I pull my gun and point it at you for a second.
Lol.
And then say behind you, like literally, like it's a bit like, am I pointing the gun at you? And then I say point behind you, just to raise the paranoia level slightly for the viewer.
Roll to shake off a threat, and I don't know. I feel like maybe you can count as supporting if you want to, Dr. R.
No, I would like that.
Me?
Yes.
I was going to jettison the fuel, but if you want my help.
I can probably cope. Get on with doing the fuel. I want to get out of here ASAP.
You can count as helping in this moment without like permanently committing yourself to being involved in the fight.
Okay, yeah.
Is it worth noting that do you have to mark pressure to support or interfere?
Oh, do you? You might be right.
Which would put you at breaking point, Ed. That's why I mention it.
I knew I should have lowered my pressure.
Yes, you definitely should have. I could have told you that. You're right, you have to mark pressure. Lol.
What does that mean?
But, well, as Nick rightly says, it would mean you would hit breaking point, which means you would have no more pressure to spend on anything else until you take your breaking point action. So it's up to you whether you want to do it. But the advantage of supporting or interfering is that you can give bonuses to Loris on her shake-off roll. You can potentially do other stuff too.
No, I'm not going to help you. I'm going to jettison the fuel. And I want some more mechanical bennies for the detection of this bloody stuff. I feel like a project clock kind of coming on somewhere.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. We're currently trapped in a Korax trap ship. So before you can worry about getting back and doing some
fine.
More mechanical
You'll
work.
You'll be
let's...
fine.
Right, I'm rolling, Josh. I'm rolling to shake it off. I rolled a 6.
Would you like to spend some pressure to help with that?
I think I'm going to have to, but that's going to take me to breaking point. So.
Oh, crap.
Perfectly normal.
Perfectly normal.
For someone who goes in with 4 pressure already marked into a serious mission.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so you get a 7.
I think you're both like walking disasters yeah. already.
So what do I get for... I get to boost it by 2, is that right?
No, just what is 1 for 1, so 1 pressure equals plus 1 bonus. But that's enough to take it to a 7 to 9.
Yep.
Okay. Here's what I think. I think you are going to use up your ammo.
Okay.
Because I think... like, it'll grab you and you will try shooting it at close quarters, but that's not actually enough to kill it because it's kind of not made out of meat. And I think in a panic, you use up your whole ammo clip just filling this thing full of bullets.
Yep.
Does that make sense to you?
That makes sense.
Cool, okay. So yeah, I think that this will take... some seconds while you're kind of it's grappling you and you're blasting away at it, in which time, Dr. R, you're going to try and jettison the fuel pods, right?
Yep.
Okay, fine.
And then grab Emily and pull her down the corridor, and then
one thing at a time, I think.
And then we're going to jump in the ship, we're going to fly away, and then we're all going to have a laugh at it at the bar.
So here's the thing.
That's what's in my mind.
You can easily get to the controls and quickly perform the required, you know, press the right buttons to activate the, to unlock the fuel tanks. As you do so, a second one of these things, and now that you are close to them, what you're seeing is they're kind of like a human shape, but like made out of marshmallow or something. They look unformed. They look like a person that's been shaped from clay or something like that.
I'm making sure my recorder's on, right? We're recording everything.
Sure, fine. And where you were a moment ago, it's kind of standing up out of the spider web. So you've got moments before it's going to free itself from the spider web, and then you've got another one of these things to deal with. You also need to get to the individual fuel tanks and like turn a thing to physically release the clamps on the tank. So you won't have time to do all of them. You can probably sprint over there and do one. You're not going to be able to help Loris if you do that. So I'm just telling you that now. You've done the central pressy buttons thing. What do you want to do?
So I can release one tank before being accosted by one of these blobs.
No, I think you can sprint over to one of the tanks and manually release it. Now, you don't know what this blob's going to do, whether it's going to come after you or go after Loris. So then we'd find out.
Fuck. I'm going to have to save Loris, aren't I?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's really, yes. It's a difficult decision. I mean, fuel it's is not. Also important.
Not if we're so dead that nobody can come pick it up because they don't know it's safe to do so. And it probably won't be.
Okay. I do the console. I rush towards the fuel release. And then I pause for a moment. And then I rush back and grab Loris and pull her towards the exit, past the creature and try and get out into the corridor, out of the ship. Put her in the ship, take off from the ship, and then have a good old sing-song at the bar afterwards.
All right. I think you are going to need to roll to shake off the second creature.
Okay.
Dr. Roy.
I'm assuming that's smooth.
You are assuming incorrectly.
Shake off.
It's hard.
Oh, mate. How did I get myself into this situation?
Just roll really well and you'll be fine. But just like for the record, Captain Sam, to be noted that this wasn't my recklessness.
I have to say, so far you lot have been rolling like absolute noobs, so I don't like the way this is going.
7.
Oh, thank God. Could have been worse. Right.
I don't know what that means. So I mean, we're nearly dead.
I choose, it's out of the frying pan into the fire, you don't escape unscathed. You lose or use up something in the process, or the threat intensifies, escalates, or targets someone else. I am going to say that your sample is ripped away from you.
Good. That's a good thing.
In fact, I'm going to say that it's knocked out of your hand, and it falls off the gantry and smashes down below.
We need to make it off the ship now.
Yeah, but I haven't learned something new about the enemy, though. Feel slighted.
Yeah, we have. We've learned that they can take marshmallowy forms.
That's true.
And speak to us.
You didn't learn the thing that you'd hoped to learn.
Is that how you're going to describe the marshmallow forms? How am I going to explain that in my scientific journal?
Dr. Roy, we need to get off the ship now.
You feel its sort of tendril-like fingers clawing at the back of your suit as you sprint past. And
I feel like I've lost my favourite sword. Go on, let's get on that ship.
The two of you run down the corridor. You arrive at the airlock and you can see a figure standing down the corridor a distance away.
Like in between us and our ship?
No.
Okay.
It calls out to you. It says, what's it say?
It's got to say it quick because we're running full pelt for the airlock.
It says, I didn't want you to see that, Lieutenant Loris. You recognise the voice of Captain Scala.
Your whole ship's infected.
Why are you reasoning with them? Let's go.
Okay, I'm just going to go.
I'm not going to make you roll to get the airlock shut. These things are not that fast.
That's another thing we've learned now, Ed.
So now all I want to know is, you get separated from the ship. What are you doing?
Apart from the fast and light travel thing.
What are we doing? We're going straight back in. Back. What do you mean?
You're leaving.
Have we got any bombs?
I guess you don't, actually. You've probably got some small arms or something.
I have to be honest, we've been sent by the captain, extremely ill-equipped, into an extremely dangerous situation.
Can I take out their engines so they can't follow us?
Here's the thing, you probably could do that, but if you do...
It's all time, isn't it?
If you do, you're probably going to be losing those fuel tanks for good.
Is there some way we can stop it from jumping into the Tenebrium? Right.
Yeah, by shooting out its jump drives.
Of course, it hasn't done that as yet, so maybe it can't.
Maybe it's trying to lure us now it's been rumbled. It might. Obviously, we've got lots of time to discuss this, so...
You going to blow it up or not?
What do you think? Maybe we should have a cup of tea.
Yeah, I'm going to blow it up.
Right, okay.
What does this point in your pressure track look like?
I am maxed out in my pressure track.
So does that mean you're... If I looked into your eyes, what would you look like in... You know, what do you look like? I'm just getting an idea of like whether I could negotiate with you or you're
beyond any kind of negotiation. Isn't your pressure track also full?
No, not yet, no.
Ah, damn it.
I traded mine for yours, basically.
I think what you see when you look in my eyes is somebody who is holding it together for the mission,
right,
and will go on a bender afterwards. I think that's fair, isn't it, Josh? You know, you don't become like, you don't have to like immediately drop everything and start letting loose. You can hold it together, but like, yeah, so you can tell I am holding it together.
If I start trying to engage with you in any kind of logical way, are you sort of beyond that and you're like on a kind of...
Why don't you try and engage with me and see what I say to you? Ooh. Can I do things to reduce my pressure at this point, Josh, or does it have to be a breaking point action?
If your pressure is maxed out, it has to be a breaking point action. You cannot change your pressure at all until you've taken a breaking point action.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we shut the area? Can we secure the area we're in some way?
Oh, we've already like...
Yeah, we've disembarked
from the ship already.
Oh, okay. Right, sorry. Okay, so we've got on the ship and we're off.
Yep, and you're bringing the ship around to shoot at the...
I am bringing the ship around and firing up the torpedoes.
Don't... We need the fuel.
What if they follow us?
They already know where we are.
Is that true, Josh?
I don't know how you would know for sure.
I am one of their...
Are you cool?
You're not telling me that, though, surely.
No. But that's what I'm implying by that statement. Well, I'm not.
Is one of you calling the other on their shit?
I can't call anybody on their... I suppose I can call people on their shit. I just can't get any pressure reduction from it.
What I mean is I know that they know where we are because I know that they know where I am. Therefore, I think we need to...
I think it's fairly clear what you're saying. Are you calling Loris on her shit?
Let me have a look.
Her shit being, she just goes and blows everything.
Yeah,
up.
I don't want her to blow up.
Harsh.
Is there some way we can just incapacitate them and get reinforcements? Or are we just
the only way I know to incapacitate that shit? Do I know any other way of incapacitating that ship other than blowing the engines up, Josh? It is the question. I'm not sure. It's not like I'm being deliberately difficult. It's
no,
I'm
no,
not sure
no.
I know
and I'm also wondering
way.
whether the captain will actually even want to send anyone back there to get it right. Is the risk too great?
You could probably try and disable it without destroying the fuel tanks, but it would be tricky.
But I've got a move for that.
What? That exact move? That's when you try and disable a ship without destroying its fuel tanks?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
When you attempt a feat of skill that others would find impossible, roll raw.
Go for it.
Do I need to call you out on your ship?
Is that thread the needle?
It's not going to... Yeah, I'm going to thread the needle.
Oh, hang on. Just before you tell me the result, I want to tell you something. I don't think this is possible without blowing up the bridge.
Mm. Is that something that Hellcat would care about?
I don't know. Would you care about killing some people?
As far as she's concerned, they're all just Koraks at this point.
Okay, that's fine. Could proceed. Tell me what you rolled.
I rolled an 8 and I have +1... raw. So 9, just shy of what I really wanted, but that's okay. On the 7 to 9, I do it by the skin of my teeth. Choose 2. take minus one forward as I am left off balance, mark pressure as I am bashed about, or ask the GM how my action leaves me exposed. Well, I presume I can't mark pressure unless Ed can mark pressure on my behalf.
Sure, why
not? Push him to his breaking point.
No.
Shame.
I think that...
Then I take minus one forward and the GM...
I'm going to take, you take minus one forward, which I think represents your kind of the sort of mental stress of what you've gone through. You feel shaken. And how does your action leave you exposed? I mean, fuck, I don't know.
Maybe it doesn't. Maybe I'm just too good. Maybe?
So I want to say that your ship is damaged by, like, flying shrapnel or something, but it's a bit hard to do that without, like, making this scene go on and on forever.
Well, I guess maybe there's something attached to the ship.
Yeah.
Or everything that Loris has done here has been captured on the ship cameras. And so, you know, blowing up a bridge.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. I like that.
Do you think the Admiral would care about that? Well, I guess we're going to find out.
I mean, I would be honest, I preferred the thing on the ship. Just saying. Then I've got my sample back.
How are you left exposed? I am a little bit worried that the Admiral will just be like, yeah, that's what I would do, no big deal.
Yeah, I would be worried about that.
Blow up some civilians. It's cool. Well done.
What about the rest of the fleet, though?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Is it interesting from that perspective? I don't think I want you to be carrying some spores back. I think that would be... Your whole action was aimed at preventing that kind of thing from happening, so I think that would kind of suck.
But I think one thing I would suggest, though, Josh, is that whether we actually carried spores back or not, presumably we'll be slammed straight into quarantine when we get back.
Possibly.
I mean, like, I would have said that, like, the second they get within hailing range, I'll say, we've fought with the Korax and experienced hand-to-hand combat with them, we need to be quarantined.
I'm going to say, I think there's no evidence that just being in a room with a Korax means you're going to turn into a Korax. Because I think otherwise we're just in danger of the game's going to grind to a halt every time interaction with a Korax.
But then I did shoot those hangar bay doors closed as soon as those people entered the ship because I was worried about them bringing infection back.
Perhaps you should have spoken to a scientist first.
It is possible to get infected from interaction with the Korax, but it's not like you're in a room with them, you come out. I mean, I guess they might think you could have been infected. How will they know? But I just don't want to get into a kind of every time someone does anything, they get put into quarantine.
Have a think about that offline. Yeah.
Quarantine's where all the sexy time happens.
It is where the sexy time happens, and I have got a breaking point action to take.
Quarantine. What happens in the quarantine room stays in the quarantine room. I think I'm going to have to say it's the footage. I can't see any other way that's going to be interesting. So I think maybe you don't even realise that you've captured it all on the ship's black box recorder. Maybe you're so kind of shaken up by the whole thing that you don't actually think about it until later on somebody else downloads it from there.
I'm not sure I'd even think about it until I got braked for it.
Maybe there's a small girl with a ginger cat held in her arms, waving at the window as you... Too much.
That cat was definitely a Korax agent.
But they just come spiralling out of the bridge and lands on the windscreen.
I'd gone too far.
A tiny tear rolls down the... Yeah, no. Thanks for listening. We've been playing Last Fleet by me, Josh Fox. You can find links to Last Fleet and all of the rest of our stuff in the show notes. And don't forget that Becky's game Wreck This Deck is currently crowdfunding on BackerKit, and there's a link to that in the show notes also. See you next time. It is Tuesday. Is everyone okay for that?
Yeah. Yes. Have you put them in the diary, Josh?
Undoubtedly.
I want to understand your diary system because mine is terrible. And you seem to have some sort of mastery of it.
Becky has finally acknowledged that a shared Google diary is a good thing.
No, I always thought it was a good thing, but for various important reasons, I didn't use it. But now that you're working on our business full time, it makes more sense to have. So we have a shared Google Calendar, basically.
Us two.
Yeah.
And of course, all of the appointments are definitely in there.
All of mine are. And it's all very importantly colour coded with things like
colours.
Tomorrow, Raffi has to dress as an evacuee, so that's written down in orange, and then
khaki.
And then on Friday, Athena's got to wear red, white, and blue, so that, and she has forest school, so that's in there in blue because that's her.
Yeah,
colour.
But like I try and do the colours thing, but I just know that my mind is not consistent. So one thing would make total sense on one day, and then it would be a different colour the next
that's
day.
That's why you have a consistent key, so you don't have to make decisions day by day. Well, so I used to do it all in by paper, and I would draw it out.
Yeah, see, that's the key.
But Josh really hated me doing this because he
can't see your book.
See my book, but I liked doing it. But then it all got a bit crazy because then I would do that, and then I would have to do. Then I would do a weekly spread as well for each week, and then daily spreads.
Right.
Just quite
this
a lot.
This is too much for me.
So now I've cut it down to weekly spreads, but with this little Dutch door.
What's it makes me laugh every time you say Dutch door.
I didn't even know that's what it was called.
It's called a Dutch door.
You mean a stable door thing?
Yeah, like a stable door. In your
a stable
channel.
Door thing is what I call it, officially.
This is my new system that I've been trying for 3 weeks.
I like it. I think you're right. The monthly's too small. Daily's too much. Weekly, just the right size.
Well, so the colour coding in the diary is literally just... There's a colour for me, there's a colour for Becky, there's a colour for Athena, and there's a colour for Raffi. And then we have like one or two other colours that I'm not sure what they mean.
So we have a colour for all of us.
Right, family.
And we have a family colour. And there's a colour for like birthdays and bank holidays.
For some reason, all of my last fleet appointments are appearing in blue, and I don't understand why that is.
Well, I don't know why you've done that.
I think that might be a mistake.
Yeah, that's a mistake. They should be in salmon because there's more than one family member involved in it.
All right, I'll fix that.
I've got to do this all on my own without anyone with.
But why?
Shouldn't you have a shared diary with Dr. T?
Yeah, you can't have a shared diary that's just you on your own, Ed. That's not what that is.
Well, it's got the crazy ramblings of a child on it at the moment. It's not me. So I don't know what happened there. It's like, guess who wrote this with their left hand? It's got written on there, I think, at the moment. So that's what I'm up against.
And then, so we have it in our pockets within the phone, the shared Google Calendar, and I'm annoyed because I don't like having my calendar electronic, but I'm doing it for Josh because I love him. So
could you not just stick it on a wall somewhere?
Well, no, because
shut up, Ed.
I have to have it in my special diary, because then obviously once a week I need to make my weekly spread, and every day I need to make my daily spread, although now I'm just trying to do just one big weekly spread with a Dutch door, and so I have a page of extra.
What does the Dutch door do exactly? That's a bit. So, does it just enhance a couple of days of
the
week?
Dutch people to
so,
come in.
I have 5 days worth of diary here, and this is my Dutch door, so that I can do this, and then have the remaining 2 days here, and then information I need for the whole week is here, so it's a lot more easily visible and accessible.
So, for the benefit of the listener, what Becky is describing, because this is almost certainly going to go in the stinger because everything else we've said is inadmissible in court. The Dutch door is like a little half page that only covers the bottom half of the page. And therefore, somehow, like I find it
therefore,
really mentally hard.
It doesn't
hard
matter which day of the week that I am working in.
Right.
I can always see the top half of my weekly.
Yes, the days of the week are on the Dutch door, and the cross weekly stuff is above the level of the Dutch door. What you've basically done is just cut out half of your diary, which feels counterintuitive, but I guess it works.
Oh, but I use the cut out pieces for like bookmarks and shopping lists and things.
Oh, so you've handcrafted the Dutch door. This is not like a book that you've bought with the Dutch door in it.
No,
the Dutch door
Ed,
diary.
Look, this is just a plain dotted journal. All the stuff I showed you, that incredibly elaborate monthly spread that I showed you,
is hand-crafted.
Drawn.
You're missing your calling in life, Becky.
So what do you think?
She's yeah, got, I think like, you templates are a diary little maker stencils.
Of justice.
This is hand-drawn.
Stationery.
That's hand-drawn. That is amazing.
It's hand-drawn.
So she does that every fucking...
Well, I don't anymore.
Feels like every day, but I guess
Google
not.
Google one. Well, I do for the daily refer one. To this multiple times a day.
No, I think it's great. It's just so far from where I am. It's quite incredible.
I find I remember things better if I write them down.
Yeah, no,
so
take me
down
with that.
When I physically write down what's going on in my diary and I write it down multiple times on the monthly and the weekly and the daily, then I'm like, I don't miss appointments. They're all here, but they're also in there.
Whereas I find it easier if I can just look at my fucking phone and see what I'm doing. Because it's just right there.
Yeah, I can see both sides, to be honest, because I have a big book for work and I just write stuff in it and keep track of it. But it's not... You would be horrified with its disorganisational...
Bet there's no Dutch doors in Egg's book.
No. There's possibly doodles of
is there a
stable crazy
door?
Man with a hat in it. There's no straight lines in it.
I have other scratch journals that I then... review and take the important actions and dates from them and put them into this one. I have a lot. I have a system.
So you've like a rough one and then you organise it. I'd never take that next step. I just have to do that and then there's a bit of digital and a bit of like...
Ugh. Just a minute. Just to be clear, this is news to me. You're telling me, Becky, you've got a rough journal
next
where you
to
just
my desk
scribble
work.
Stuff down. Then you make it beautiful in your beautiful journal and you also now have an electronic... diary as well because you love me.
Yeah.
So that's three.
I don't understand the problem.
No, I was just asking.
Well, this explains why you know when things are happening and I don't.
It might do. It probably also explains why I have a lot of notebooks.
I do not have three diaries and I know when things are happening because I have the
oh,
one
really,
diary.
Josh? Can you tell me, Josh? What should Athena wear tomorrow?
Uniform.
Oh, you shit. And why must she wear uniform tomorrow?
Because there's a school photo happening.
But what else is happening tomorrow?
Many things, I assume.
Athena's going to dance club tomorrow after
Yes,
school.
And she's got to have her PE kit in a bag. I know that too.
Wow.
Did you, though?
I did.
And Rafi's got to dress as an evacuee.
Because I read the email or whatever the fuck it was amongst the mountain of other emails that we get from school.
Is that the emails that I go through and put in the diary? Which is why
I'm more of a kind of wing it guy.
Which is why tomorrow's diary has a blue line for Athena that says dance club, a blue line for Athena that says make her wear uniform because it's school photos, and a orange line for Rafi that says must dress as an evacuee.
Okay, I didn't know about the evacuee.
Have
I mean,
you
I knew
reserved
about the
orange line for evacuee fancy dress
it's
circumstances.
It's because Rafi's colour is orange.
Is he genuinely going to dress in an evacuee? I thought we were going to do that.
Well, he says, well, if I've got the opportunity to dress up, then I'm going to take it, so I don't just want to wear uniform. I've sorted something
out. Is it a modern evacuee or a World War II evacuee? Or...
So he's got that. He's got a shirt.
Isn't it just normal clothes?
He's got a shirt and we're going to roll the sleeves up to make him look like a cockney urchin. And then I have my own hand knitted vest, woolen vest, which is obviously slightly too big for him.
Oh, so it's a World War II one.
Well, that's perfect. It shouldn't fit him because
exactly.
He's a cockney urchin.
And he's going to wear a school trousers and a black pair of shoes. And then I have fashioned a giant luggage tag out of a piece of brown cardboard and written his name, age and address on it, which we're going to tie to him.
Is that what happened to evacuees?
Yes.
Just so we're clear, this is a modern day evacuee then?
No, he's supposed to be a World War II evacuee.
Well, so shouldn't he have the little gas mask in a box? He can do the gas
mask. Josh was
going
to find the gas mask, but he didn't because he didn't check the diary.
Oh, I didn't. I thought that we'd agreed we weren't going to dress him up. That's why a bit surprised by this whole thing, but I could probably find the gas mask. I think it's in Athena's cupboard.
Oh, if you can dig out the gas mask, we'll chuck that on him as well. He'll love that.
He's going to go into school with a terrifying gas mask on.
Yeah,
I might have to.
Josh bought it for a LARP we did.
I did. I had this character who was like a war hero who'd been horribly wounded, and so he had like he was basically like Darth Vader. Yeah. So I got the gas mask and I got some like tubing and attached it to the gas mask and I got a Darth Vader mask, which would make the sound effect, the breathing sound effect.
Oh,
and I
right.
placed the sound effect maker inside, like, a kind of gas bottle thing that I had on my hip so that the breathing actually came from my hip.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but nobody could understand a fucking word I was saying because I was talking through a gas mask while a breathy thing went off on my hip.
You need like a little mic, like a Bluetooth mic thing in there as well at the same time.
I can remember having a really tense conversation with a political rival where I was like trying to threaten him or something, and like midway through the conversation he just went, "I can't understand a word you're saying," and walked off. It's very funny.
Yeah, that's the problem with evil masterminds. They've got to think about the,
yeah,
the big clarity
speech,
of
the big mastermind
masks
speech.
Masks are very cool, but nobody can understand you if you wear them. That's the lesson.